Hello Mzansi, and welcome to episode 429 of the Farmers Inside Track podcast. It's lovely being with you again. My name is Duncan Masiwa, and I'm your host for this episode, powered by AfriVet. In this episode, we have the pleasure of speaking to Dr. Didi Klaassen. She's the General Manager of AfriVet Training and Technical Services. Now, in this episode, Dr. Didi Klaassen provides crucial updates on the impact of rabies on production animals and shares valuable insights on how farmers can protect their livestock. We discuss the early symptoms of rabies in production animals and how farmers can identify them, specific farm factors or conditions that increase the risk of rabies outbreaks, as well as recommended vaccination schedules and much more. Dr. Didi, welcome to Farmers Inside Track.
Hi, Duncan. It's always lucky to spend some time with you guys and share some thoughts and ideas. So thank you for this opportunity.
Much appreciated. Now, for some people, it might be weird that we're talking about rabies in livestock, but we did have recent cases reported in Cape Town with regards to seals. So I suppose it's quite important just to highlight rabies in livestock and production animals specifically again. Let's maybe start the conversation with which production animals are susceptible to rabies. Let's start there.
Rabies is a viral disease. We have two life cycles running in South Africa, or commonly seen in South Africa. The one is in mongooses and meerkats. So that's the one we see more to the central parts of the country. And then we have the dog one, which cycles between domestic dogs, the ones we have in our homes and on our farms, and then also jackal. So there's that dog type cycle. And then livestock is not part of these cycles, but what happens is they become accidental hosts, which means basically wrong place, wrong time. Rabbit, jackal or dog or mongoose comes and bites them, and then they get exposed to the virus and then they can get the disease. They don't usually transmit it to the next animal. It's not impossible, but they're usually what they call dead-end hosts. So if they get infected with rabies, it tends to end with them, but they still pose a risk for infection for anyone who has contact with virus that they might be secreting. So basically, we've seen rabies in cattle. That's quite common. We've seen it in sheep. We've seen it in goats. So horses. We've seen it in pigs. So your production animals are a risk, definitely.
What are then those early symptoms of rabies in production animals? Because I suppose it's quite important for farmers to be able to identify it as quickly as possible. What are those symptoms?
Symptoms in any of the animals affected by rabies would be a change in behavior. And I think whenever we speak about rabies in production animals, please keep your pets, your dogs and cats, especially people using dogs for hunting, keep those animals in the back of your head, because they are the ones that have a higher risk than the production animals. But the symptoms are a change in behavior. We don't expect cows to become aggressive and chasing you around, or sheep chasing you around the paddock. That's abnormal behavior. Or we've had cases in cattle where they just present with a fever, but they hypersalivate. So there's excessive saliva coming out of their mouths, and it looks like they're foaming at the mouth, or they become paralyzed. We've had cattle just looking like they're sitting like dogs on their backsides, with their legs up, so it looks like they're sitting like a dog. That's one of the symptoms we can see. But change behavior and aggression is usually something we see in production animals, and that hypersalivation.
Dr. Didi, you can almost find cattle or livestock animals anywhere in South Africa these days, in backyards, in the street, on a beach, somewhere. Are there any specific factors or conditions on farms, or I suppose off farms as well, that increases the risk of rabies outbreaks among production animals?
Yes. So as I said, there's the life cycle in wildlife, I think, is the biggest risk for farmers, because you can't control the mongooses or jackal coming onto your farm. By the time usually that we realize there's a rabbit, jackal or mongoose, they've already bitten the cattle. That's how we notice that they were there. So a thing you can do, and it's a law in South Africa, to vaccinate your dogs and cats. I would start there, to make sure that dogs and cats on your farm is vaccinated, especially if you have hunting packs in the area, if you have that component to your farming industry as well, as to make sure that they're vaccinated. And then in certain provinces in the country, like Northwest Province, where cattle rabies frequently occurs because of the jackal populations in the province, farmers have the option to vaccinate. So it's not subsidized by government like the vaccinations of dogs and cats, but the farmer has the option to purchase rabies vaccine from their veterinarian or have the veterinarian vaccinate the cattle or the sheep or the goats with rabies vaccine. Just make sure that the vaccine you're using are registered for the species that you are vaccinating.
Dr. Didi, what about the seals?
It's very scary what's happening with the seals. And I think it just put rabies on the map again because it's something we haven't seen before in South Africa. It has been reported elsewhere in the world. But it's, again, just a wildlife species interacting with humans and domestic species. And that's why I keep on speaking about dogs, because how they picked up the rabies in the seals were dogs that contracted rabies after having an interaction with the seals. So again, if you have livestock, I know when you're walking or doing holidays in the Eastern Cape, you have those beautiful cattle walking and grazing on the beaches. So obviously they are at risk with encountering a seal. So if you see a seal behaving strangely among your cattle where they're grazing on a beach, it's important to notify your state vet. So the risk would be the same with the seals as it would be for jackals. So if you're in an area where there is seals, whether it's with your dog or your cattle or your sheep, just make sure if there's strange behaving seals, report it to the state vet and then they can investigate.
You talk about vaccinations. Is there anything that farmers should know about vaccination schedules?
Yes, I keep on referring back to dogs and cats because that's the pivotal part where we can protect ourselves. So in legislation, there's only legislation when it comes to dogs and cats. For that, the dog or cat needs 2 vaccinations in the first year and then a booster vaccination every 3 years. So just make sure that that's happening with your pets. Then secondly, if you have cattle, depending on the vaccine you use, the package insert will give you different doses and time frames in which you vaccinate. So that depends on the vaccine you are using, but it follows a similar principle. The ages that you start might just differ depending on species and on the vaccine you're using. So because there are several vaccines registered, it's going to be a bit complicated to discuss all of the individual differences. But the main criteria or the main thing to remember is when you are vaccinating animals, make sure that you do it according to the package insert. And that goes for any vaccine you're using, whether you're vaccinating for anthrax or poppy kidney, make sure you do what the package insert says. Then you know you are mitigating your risk and you're not wasting your money. Because if you use vaccine incorrectly, you're wasting your money and you're putting yourself and your farm animals at risk.
Yeah, that's quite an important point. Dr. Didi, if I am a farmer and I suspect a rabies case on my farm, my animals are starting to behave out of the ordinary or weird, what immediate actions should I take to protect other animals and humans on the farm?
That's a very good question, Duncan. It is a controlled disease. And what that means is if you see an animal behaving suspiciously, you phone your local state veterinarian. And I always say to people, when there's an emergency, you sort of forget who you are. We had a first aid course once just before I had my daughter. And the person who did the training with us said, go and find a little paper, put it on your refrigerator with a magnet. And on that, you write your own name. You write your address, your telephone number, your medical aid information. Because if your child starts choking or there's an emergency, you forget your own name. So that you can literally go with the telephone to the fridge, start reading basic information for the ambulance to know where you are and that they can come and fetch you. So on the same principle, I want to advise, get your state vet details ready now so that when you have an emergency, whether it's rabies or suspect foot and mouth disease or any controlled disease in South Africa that you need to report, that you can just go to that piece of paper, you know who to phone and that they can help you. With rabies, it's really important that you get them out immediately. Those animals are dangerous. For us to confirm that an animal has rabies, they need to be killed and we have to do tests on the brain. We have to isolate in contact animals and make sure that people don't get exposed. So it's very important to get a veterinarian. If you can't get hold of your state vet, get a private vet to come and assess the animal and make sure of the diagnosis. At the same time, if you were in contact with that animal that looks rabid or the animal bit you or started attacking you, please seek medical attention and tell the medical personnel you're working with, whether it's a sister at the clinic or a medical doctor, that listen, this is the background. I was on the farm. This jackal came out of nowhere, or my cow looked like it had a bone stuck in its throat. I tried to take the bone out, but there was nothing in there. And then I saw the hypersalivation. I'm concerned about rabies. that they can initiate your post-exposure treatment immediately. You don't want to wait for the results. That's one of the sad things that happen is people don't seek medical attention. So the animal side of the problem is dealt with, but then the human side isn't. And then unfortunately, people die. The sad thing with rabies is if you get rabies and you start showing symptoms, there isn't a cure. So we need to stop it on the day that you get exposed. Then they can do something for you. So report it to the state vet, seek medical attention if you were involved, and make sure that you keep an eye on the animal. If it's still alive and it hasn't died, keep an eye on it so that you know where that animal is. And if you get exposed, if you have contact with saliva or an animal has bitten you, the first and most important thing you can do before you go to the clinic is to wash that wound with running water and soap for at least 10 minutes. And 10 minutes is a long time. I remember with the COVID 22nd hand wash, you can see people were like, what am I doing? So 10 minutes is a long time, but it saves your life. So please wash your wounds for 10 minutes, running water and soap, and then seek medical attention and tell them all the details of what you see, because that's part of the risk assessment.
Earlier about a support program that is available in one of the inland provinces, what support or other resources are available to farmers for rabies testing, diagnosis, and even treatment?
Treatment isn't an option at this stage. Unfortunately, if animals weren't vaccinated, we usually advise that they are culled just for the safety aspects to it, but your state vet will assess your situation and talk you through it. So your main resource is your state veterinarian, and there's a lot of good information available on the internet. And I know on Facebook, some people have interesting ideas. So make sure that your resources you use are accurate. So again, your state vet websites will have accurate information and resources in multiple languages. Then you can disseminate it to people in your community, whether it's in isiXhosa or isiZulu or Sepedi. They have all those resources available. And then AfriVet, on our website, we have a little brochure that you can print. And that has capacity for you to give your state vet, keep your state vet and private information. It tells you exactly what to do when you're exposed, what the symptoms are on different species and vaccines available, etc. So that's on our website. The Global Alliance for Rabies Control, GARC, it's an international nonprofit organization, and they have courses that you can do and get certification on rabies knowledge. So that's an impeccable source to use if you want to educate yourself a bit more and help your community. And I think as parents, if you have young kids, because unfortunately people dying of rabies are children, make sure that your kids know how to deal with animals and to come and tell you when they see strange things. Did a mongoose come out of nowhere? Because I think kids growing up on farms are exposed to many things that the city kids don't know about or even ever experience. And it's such a blessing. But with that blessing, we just need to teach them of strange things, not make them scared of animals, but just tell them how animals should behave. And if they don't behave that way, please come tell mom and dad so that we can get you the necessary treatment if necessary. And there are other things in local areas that people can do to protect their kids, but that's not pertinent. I think the main thing is that we educate our kids on how to work with, deal with, and handle animals, because that also cultivates a love for agriculture in them, apart from their safety. But then they grow up in that atmosphere or platform where they understand the importance of animals and what is healthy, what isn't healthy, how do we help them to get healthy again, and how do I protect myself from potential diseases.
Thank you, Dr. Didi Klaassen, the General Manager of AfriVet Training and Technical Services. You can, of course, read more on this topic by visiting www.foodformzanzi.co.za. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of hashtag Team Food from Zanzi, thanks for listening.
Life in South Africa can be a lot. I mean, scroll through Twitter for a minute and tell me I'm wrong. Thank God for South Africans though, right? We're inspiring, and even on the bad days, we fight back with a smile. That's why I love Food for Mzansi so much. They're not ashamed to celebrate the ordinary unsung heroes who work every day to put food on our nation's tables. Go to foodformzanzi.co.za and never miss an inspiring story.